Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. The message is titled, God Has Spoken. Hebrews chapter 1. Last year we studied through the book of Hebrews on Sunday nights, showing the superiority of Jesus Christ over everything, the Old Testament law, the Old Testament sacrifices, the Old Testament priesthood. He's superior. Look at a little bit different thought here this morning. Verse 1 of chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last times spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which as the angel said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. You know, man has gone to great lengths to and considerable expense in their quest to discover life in outer space. The Tower of Babel was man's very first effort to reach unto heaven, to get there. We just had a successful launch finally yesterday up into outer space. But all the, and I'm not against the space program, but there's, I believe part of the motivation of that is man's desire to try to prove that there's life someplace else. Amen. The Bible says God created the earth to be inhabited. Earth is the only planet that God named. Man named all the rest of them. This place is unique. This place is the place that God has chosen to put us, the creation that he has elevated above everything else, to live. This is where life is. But there is life outside of that, but we'll get to that in a moment. In 1960, there was a project called the CETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. This project began, and they were searching for electromagnetic transmissions from other planets. They try to see what's out there, if there is, in fact, intelligent life out there. Over the years, the astrobiologists of various organizations, using ever-evolving technologies, have sought outer space for transmissions of any kind of the existence of intelligent life. 60 years of research by some of the best minds in the world. And what have they come up with? Nothing. Spent trillions of dollars on this. The conclusion is this. The CETI project never did find any evidence of alien life. That's their own words. Yeah. In 60 years. I believe life does exist outside of this, you know, this planet. But it's not the kind of life that they're looking for.
Amen.
And they're not finding it because they're not looking in the right way. There is intelligence out there, just not the intelligence they hope to find. It's a far superior intelligence than any that are known. It's communicated with us long before CETA and NASA and even the USA existed. But yet man, in his infinite wisdom, has rejected the communication that that life has sent to us. They're not willing to hear that. They continue to search for something else. Jesus Christ was the embodiment of God, communicating to his creation as one of them. That's what Hebrews chapter 1 is talking about. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and with upholding all things by the word of his power. He's spoken to us. Yeah. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, whether it be with the Tower of Babel or these electromagnetic sensors or a spacecraft, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ from the dead. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. See, the thing that people are looking for is not some distance away. God's brought it right here. Amen. Right close to us. God's provided that communication. There's five things I want to think about this morning regarding this. You think about God having spoken, and think about the number of different ways in which God spoke. The very first way in which God communicated with man was directly, face to face. Adam and Eve, there in the Garden of Eden, that God came and walked with them in the cool of the day, each and every day, till one day. And then it wasn't God that separated from them, it was they who separated from God, or tried to hide from him. The next occasion you hear about is Enoch, who walked with God. That relationship, but that face-to-face relationship that he had with God, till one day God says, you're coming home with me today. And Enoch was not, for God took him, the Bible says. Then there was Noah. No, I've had it. I'm fed up. But you just wonder if God's not getting to that point right now. Amen. But he said, I'm done, and I'm going to destroy it all. But I want you and your family to start building an ark, because I'm going to spare you, and I'm going to start all over again with you and your three sons. God spoke directly. God spoke directly to Abraham as well. God communicated. From the very beginning of his creation, God began that communication. It's no secret what God desires of us. The problem is, we're not listening. We don't want to hear it. God spoke directly. Secondly, God spoke through his creation. Look at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14 and verse 17. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. God didn't leave himself without a witness. God communicated through his creation. Look at Psalm 19. Psalm chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. God reveals himself through creation. For I was saved, and God, there was about a six-month period of time there where God was dealing with me. God was convicting me of my sinfulness. And one of the ways in which God spoke to me was through his creation during that time. I began to just become aware of just how beautiful this everything was. I remember I lived in a trailer house up in New York State at the time, and out in the backyard, there was just a small maple tree, probably about 15, 20 feet tall at the most. But man, the thing was just, it got my attention one day. I could just stand and stare at that thing, just the beauty of that thing. In other ways as well, God began to appeal to me through his creation. That wasn't all of it, but that was a part of what God did. His witness, his line has gone out through all the earth. There is no speech nor language where his voice is not heard. Look at Psalm 97. Psalm chapter 97. Verse 6. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. I mean, if people would just stop, shut the phones off and shut the TV off and shut the computer off and even shut the lights off and go out and look at the creation of God. Look at what's there, the vastness of it and the beauty of it. Amen. What are those flowers along the road now, the purple and white flowers? Anyone know what they are, the wild flowers? Phlox. They're just standing out to me for some reason this year. I have it. Is this a little bit more than normal? Or? Yeah. Just been blind to it, I guess. But you think about that. God, so let's put a little of that there and more of that over there. The beauty of God's creation. And he did that for us. He painted all that beauty for us, for our pleasure, for us to enjoy. Look at Psalm 98, verse 1. No, that's not the one I wanted. There's a verse that says, he openly showed his salvation to the heathen. I'm missing that one. Oh, no, that is it. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Verse 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Folks sometimes say, well, what about the heathen in the darkest Africa who never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are they going to hell without him? Yes, because his salvation has been openly showed unto the heathen, he said. You want an example of that? Go to Acts chapter 10, Cornelius. There was a just man. He feared God. He gave alms. He fasted. He prayed. And yet God says, you need to send men to Joppa for a guy named Simon Peter. He'll tell you what you must do. So all that stuff wasn't any good, but there was a man who was reaching out in his heart to God, and God reached down and grabbed it and saw that somebody got to him to give him the message of salvation. That's what about the heathen in darkest Africa. God will get someone to hear the message of salvation. What about those that never heard? They never reached. Because God has shown his righteousness to the heathen. And I believe God is obligated to get a messenger to them if they reach out to him. And God in his holiness and his justness will not overlook that responsibility that he has. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Nobody is going to be able to stand before God and say, but I didn't know. But nobody told me. Because God's going to say, you didn't open your eyes. It was all there. And a host of people had responded and received what was there. It comes back on each of us.
Amen.
It's our responsibility to reach out, to make the move to God. He's spoken through his creation. Thirdly, this, God spoke it through his prophets. Go to Exodus chapter 4. There was a time, as I mentioned already, where God spoke individually to people, directly. But then, even before that, and through all that, through his creation, but then God had a special class of people, a special group that he was using as well. Look at verse 12 here in Exodus chapter 4. As God is just beginning this, pulling the people of Israel out of Egypt, he says this, now therefore go and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Moses was a prophet of God, and he had those excuses. Well, God, I just I don't speak very well. God says, don't worry about it. I'll be with your mouth. How many of you ever heard David Ring preach? That guy's got cerebral palsy.
Yeah, amen.
And he, you know, stutters a lot when he speaks. It's difficult. You know, it's also affected his body, of course. But man, what a powerful preacher. Amen. See, we got this idea that the person has to be a perfect orator. Well, that leaves me out. their diction just right and their intelligence superior. God doesn't care.
Amen.
All he wants is somebody willing. And he'll use anybody, and he can use anybody. And Moses tried to give those excuses. He said, no, I'll be with your mouth, Moses. I'll give you what you need to say. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. See, that's my responsibility, is to just let God speak through me. I've been amazed at some of the times when God is, you know, just, I've studied and I prepared and I get up here and start and this thing just kind of gets put aside. Because God takes over. And God gives the words. And if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, that's exactly what's happening. Because I can't do it. I can make a pretense of doing it. But if it's real, if it's got life with it, it's because God is with my mouth.
Amen.
And giving me the words to speak. That's what he promised to do. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18. Well, let me back up just a little bit. Verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter's speaking here, and he said, we didn't make this stuff up. We just communicated to you what we saw, what we experienced. Verse 17, for we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, what Peter is specifically talking about here is the Mount of Transfiguration. He, James, and John were taken by the Lord up there, and they saw before their very eyes, they saw his countenance change and his clothing even changed. And he began to glow and emanate this just this beauty. And they recognize that something fantastic is taking place here. They saw Jesus Christ in his glorified form. No longer as just the Messiah who's walking in among them and teaching, but now they saw him beyond that, beyond the crucifixion, in all of his glory. And as they saw that, they heard the voice of God speaking, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So that's what Peter's talking about. Then he goes on and says this, verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy.
Yeah.
Is there any question about the fact that they heard from God on the mountain? Yep. That was God's voice they heard. That would be pretty authoritative, wouldn't it? It was authoritative when Adam heard it, when Enoch heard it, when Noah heard it. It was authoritative when they heard it. But Peter says, we've got something even more sure than a voice from heaven. He says, we have also more sure prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as in a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. So what's the more sure word of prophecy we have? Right there. This book. More sure than a voice from heaven.
Yeah.
So Peter said. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God says, I'll be with your mouth. And as the 44 different writers of the Bible sat down to record what they were given, it was what they were given. As God promised to be with the mouth of the prophets, God promised to be with the pen of those who recorded the scriptures. But some people, as Sam Gipp says, believe in the dumb God theory. That God was so powerful that he could be able to communicate directly to man. That he could even communicate directly to man to have man record quickly his precious word. And God was so careful to do all those things, but then somehow in the process of years, he let it get lost. That's the dumb God theory.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. If it's a more sure word of prophecy that we do well to take heed as into a light that shineth in a dark place, then don't you think God was going to preserve it for us?
Amen.
And not depend upon some scholar to be able to take it from the Hebrew and Greek to put it in English, but to be sure that they recorded it correctly. I believe he did. God spoke to us through the prophets, who then gave it to us here. And we have that sure, more sure word of prophecy. God speaks to us through his word. But I kind of got ahead of myself a little bit here. Because before I get to that, we need to look at God speaking to us through his son. Back to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Says, he hath in these last days spoken to us by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God spoke through Jesus Christ. He lived on this earth about 33 years. But 33 and a half of those years, or 3.5 years of those years, he actually taught and ministered. We only have one incident that took place probably when he was about 12 years old from all those years from his birth up until the time that his public ministry began with his baptism. When he was left in the temple, or went back to the temple and stayed there, and his parents worried about him and went and found him. That's the only thing we know about those 30 years in between his birth and his public ministry. Everything else is the last 3.5 years of his life on this earth. But he was there communicating to us. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. For without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, and believed on in the world and received up into glory. God was manifest in the flesh, the embodiment of God. God here to communicate to mankind, to get us to understand what he was doing for us, what his plan and purpose for us was. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He was in Christ, the embodiment of God, to reconcile us, to communicate to us that reconciliation that he was accomplishing. John 1:14. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Back up to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word in the beginning, and that Word was God, made flesh, the embodiment of God, to communicate to us. So God spoke to us by his Son. Back to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Let's start at verse 1 again. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last times spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of God, on the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. God speaking to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He spoke directly. He spoke by his creation. He spoke by the prophets. He spoke by his Son. And now, these last 2,000 years, he speaks to us through this. The more sure word of prophecy. You know, there's some people out there that believe that God speaks directly to them. And now, I believe God can communicate to us, but it better be in line with this.
Yes, amen.
Because this is the more sure word of prophecy. And when it doesn't align with this, if it's in contradiction to this, it's not from God.
Amen.
It may be from a God, but it's not from God. Because the deceiver is out there. And he communicates as well. Everything needs to come back to this. This is the primary source of God speaking to us. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. For this cause, and Thessalonians is a church that Paul praised, found no fault with them, encouraged them. They were doing what they needed to do. He says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. This is a powerful book, folks. Went to Bible school with a guy who had been heavy into drugs and everything, and he was at the point of committing suicide. He was sitting in his room. He had the gun ready. He was ready to kill himself. And somebody came to his door in the apartment house he was living in and handed him a Bible.
Amen.
And left. And Dick sat there alone in his house with that gun sitting there and that Bible, and he began to read. No preacher, no sermon, just this book. And he ended up getting saved.
Amen.
The word of God, which effectually worketh in you to believe. This is a powerful book, folks.
Yeah.
This is God communicating to us. 1 Timothy chapter 3, or 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul commended those believers because they received it as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually works. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul said this, and the earlier, as he started out the letter to Timothy, he says, I saw the unfeigned faith that was in thee, which first was in thy mother Lois and thy grandmother Eunice. And now it's in you, he says. But he writes this here in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
He saw that Paul knew his mother and his grandmother, and he knew their faith that they had in Jesus Christ. But he says that it's not their faith in them that was made live in you, but it was the scriptures that brought that. The Holy Scriptures, which were able to make you wise unto salvation. He goes on, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This is how God communicates. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. James chapter 1, verse 18. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, which we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, begotten by the word of truth. Drop it down to verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluous fluidity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The word of God is God communicating to us. He says, receive it as a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed unto a light that shineth in a dark place. It's getting pretty dark here, folks. Until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. God still speaks.
Amen.
But this is his voice.
Yeah, amen.
Oh, that we would heed what God has to say. I wonder how many of you spend some time in this book every day. Well, God, I wonder what I should do in this terrible time in which we live. There's some answers.
Yep, amen.
Are you looking in the right place? Are you trusting in those sensors of electromagnetic activity up in outer space to give you the answer? This is what God's given us. God's still speaking. Are you listening? I think of Samuel. As a young boy, he was turned over to Eli the priest, that wicked, wicked situation there. And he's laying there at night and he hears a voice, Samuel, Samuel. And he goes to Eli and he says, yes, Lord. He says, what are you doing, boy? Let me go back to sleep. I didn't call you. And it happens again, Samuel. Leave me alone, boy. It's not me. It was God speaking to him. Speak, Lord, he said, for thy servant heareth. You know, folks, there are some hurting people out in this community. There are some people that are lost and on their way to hell. And we could be the thing which can communicate that truth to them, to spare them from that eternity in hell. We have listened to the voice of God to speak the truth to them, to let God be with your mouth to communicate to them.
Amen.
Let's stand, please, for prayer.